Me, Grimlock, say you're listening to All Things Transformers.
Striving to save the world from the evil Decepticons, the heroic Autobots are led by Optimus Prime. He's more than meets the eye, he's a robot in disguise.
Transformers!
Going ballistic to destroy the Autobots and conquer mankind, the evil Decepticons are more than meets the eye.
Transformers!
Heroic Autobots versus evil Decepticons with the fate of planet Earth hanging in the balance.
Transformers
Generation 2. And now, through the magic of the Cybernet Space Cube, the computer-enhanced stories of the Transformers. Transformers Generation 2.
Hello and welcome to All Things Transformers Version 2.0 Episode 36. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me again in this episode is...
DFG and Mike.
Pecan Court Michael. Hey, how's it going?
Welcome back, guys.
Yep, we are here once again, and this time it's to talk about Transformers Generation 2. My initial disdain for G2 has nothing to do with the comics, the toys, any of that. It's the fact that it wasn't a new cartoon series. It was a repackage of Generation 1.
As far as the cartoon goes?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because a lot of the toys were repackages of Generation 1. So I can see how that would be a bit of a letdown, but...
Well, Megatron was never a tank before.
Well, so. You know, they had the Dinobots.
Well,
they had the Constructicons. They had the Minibots, or a small subset of the Minibots.
Yeah.
Some of the cars, like Inferno and Jazz, they got repaints. The Seeker Jets.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I shouldn't say Jets, but, you know, a couple of them got repaints. The Aerobots. The Combaticons. They all got repaints. And they're cool if you like Dayglow. If that's your thing, you know, then yeah. But yeah, a lot of those G2 toys are hard to find. I want to say
I still have one.
They were KB exclusives, weren't they?
Most likely.
No, they were... I mean, KB did sell a heck of a lot of them, but they were not KB exclusives.
Okay. I just remember them. I remember seeing them at KB...
Yeah, they carried them very heavily as well as when they did Machine Wars. Machine Wars was a KB exclusive.
Okay. Oh, yeah, Machine Wars was, yeah, definitely a KB. But all the ones that I have that are in package all have the KB stickers.
Ah,
so that's the only one. I mean, I don't have any record in my personal collection of people buying any from Toys R Us, let's say.
Funny thing about Generation 2 is I remember seeing them all in KB Toys, a giant display case, and this is when I was already into Transformers. We'd gone to local pawn shops and picked up certain G1 Transformers, and I'd gotten into it. Anyways, we went to KB Toys one day, and I forgot my wallet at home, and my parents, of course, were like, no, you can't spend your money because you didn't bring it with you. And I was like, well, I didn't know we were coming to the mall to KB Toys.
Yeah.
I'm like, or I would have brought it with me. And they're like, guess you should have carried it. And there's like a big wall of Transformers, and I'm like drooling over this, and I see Optimus Prime and all these other, and at the time Optimus Prime actually cost like $20. To which I was sad because I had like 40 and I was like, I'm going to buy this and I'm going to buy that. And they're like, nope, you're screwed. And then I went back the next weekend and the entire thing of G2 was gone.
Oh, wow.
I was so mad. But we ended up going to a pawn shop again, the same one we got our Generation 1 stuff from. And I ended up picking up the G2 Optimus Prime Complete at the time, which I no longer have anymore, which I'm kind of sad to say.
Now, is that the repaint of G1, or was that Laser?
It's the repaint of G1, but the cab was a little bit brighter colors, more vibrant. Plus, he got his guns, which attached to his trailer, from the clip-on Autobot logoed soundbox that went on the front.
Right.
The rest of it was pretty much repaints, but on the side of the trailer, it said Optimus, and it was black, and it looked really badass.
Yeah, I've actually got one on my shelf now. I've I've got two of them. I've got one of them positioned in robot mode and one of them positioned in vehicle mode.
They're
standing in front of laser.
Yeah, that's another one I wanted but never got. But that's have the G2 Megatron tank, the green one.
Hero Megatron? No, the big one.
The big one.
Yeah.
I don't have his little pistol that he's got or the bullet, but I do have the rest of it complete. I actually picked that up at a flea market in Florida on vacation. I got it for $2.
Holy cow. Wow.
Because the guy didn't know what he had. I saw it on the table and having, you know, the internet at the time, early internet. And I was like, I know what that is. I know what that is. And I had $20 and the guy was like $2. And I said, okay.
I can argue with you.
Cause he didn't know what it was. And he thought it was just a tank. And then I was like, I have Megatron.
Nice.
Those were the only G2 I ever owned, though.
Oh no, I've got that Megatron somewhere. He's not on my shelf. I think he's in a box. He's in like the box that he came in, but he's packed away somewhere because
I
didn't have enough room for him on my shelf. But I liked Hero Megatron and Hero Optimus, just because it was like the first. Well, it was the first Optimus that came out that wasn't, you know, like that G1. Exactly. Yeah, I mean he's kind of like the Michael Bay version with the long nose on the front of the cab. and he's got these rockets that if you push really, really hard on this air pump, they shoot out. It's a cool figure. It's not, you know, fantastic, but that was about the time when, you know, you start seeing ball joints, some of the figures and better articulation. So no, it was head and shoulders better than some of the older Optimuses. And the same would go for Megatron. I mean, even though he's purple, he's still cool.
That purple skull color scheme really did start in G2, and then it evolved with, you know, Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Well, you know, yep. Decepticon purple, you know, came in G1, but.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying like Megatron. Like the only thing that was purple on him in G1 was his Decepticon logo.
Yeah.
So
ever since then, Megatron has had an affinity for the color purple.
Especially when Unicron took him over, he had all purple stuff in front.
Yeah.
I remember the thing I remember about the G2 toys. I remember really liking them almost more than the Generation 1. Some of the Generation 1 stuff is. The shininess of them, specifically with like Sea Spray and the gold version of Bumblebee.
Right. The vacuum metal.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely loved. Because
there was a Sea Spray, a Bumblebee, and a Cliffjumper.
Yep. I had original Bumblebee, but his transformation wasn't always.
Yeah, and the tires peel off. And
yep, exactly. And I remember later getting Throttlebot Goldbug, because, yes, ladies and gentlemen, whether you like it or not, in Return of Optimus Prime, Bumblebee got turned into Goldbug. But anyway, I'm not just Bumblebee anymore, I'm a Goldbug.
That's what we'll call you from now on. Goldbug. It's like, I kind of like being Bumblebee. Screw you, Goldbug.
I like the new design on the Goldbug toy, but I wish that the color. Oh, no. Compared to the Bumblebee toy, the Goldbug toy actually looked more like it had a better design on it. As far as the overall aesthetics and how the toy actually worked, because it was a Throttlebot versus a regular mini car.
Yeah.
I just wish he was a little bit more gold, and that's why I like the gold version of the original Bumblebee.
He's shiny.
And he's super shiny.
You know what's that? I have this huge stack of unopened toys in front of my display cases, and I can't see into that shelf that has like my 87, 88 toys in it, so I can't see Goldbug. But because I got this huge stack of stuff here that Chrissy keeps telling me I'm gonna have to put somewhere. But yeah, I the thing I liked about the G2 toys, and they started, I want to say they started this with the, they're not called the Cyber Jets. I was going to say they're not called Secret Jets. No, they're Cyber Jets. And there was, I think, 4 Decepticons and 4 Autobots, but they all had this, spring loaded transformation where you would push like the back of their tail fin, and the whole thing would kind of, it was like on a ratchet system that would fold them in half. And the transformation is pretty simple, but you know, you can do it really easily. They just snap into place, and the shoulders, the elbows, the hips, the knees, everything is ball jointed. Their head swivels around. They're very poseable, and they're just really cool toys. But I really like those, and I was really surprised how cool they were when I first started getting into like the G2 stuff.
Yeah, my brothers actually used to have the Cyber Jets, all of them, and it was kind of strange seeing some of them, especially how quickly they could break.
Oh, don't break my Cyberjet, bro.
Yeah.
I like this. And I want to say the Machine Wars, they just repainted a few of these.
Probably. I want to say they did a few of them.
Yeah. I'm looking up with the Machine Wars jets, and I'm not seeing which ones exactly match up side by side with the Cyberjets. So I could be wrong. But yeah, like I said, I really like them. I really like the color schemes on some of these. I mean, we literally have like orange and red tiger stripe jet. Yeah. It's like, how cool is that?
Hooligan.
Hooligan, and the one with it's a stealth bomber, but he's black with flames.
Air raid.
That he's cool. Yeah, I couldn't tell you their names offhand.
What's sad is I remember most of them.
You know, the funny thing, too, is a lot of these G2 guys had their names on them as stickers.
The gray one that was Jetfire.
The gray camo as Jetfire?
Yep. I have that one.
See, he's cool because the wings actually spread out. He actually goes into like a... the wings flip out into attack mode. He's just really cool. Some of these had like flick missiles, like pressure missiles that would shoot. And then I want to say the later ones had like bombs underneath on the undercarriage that would pop off and would become their gun. And I don't think those are actually cyber jets. I mean, this might be something different.
The Jetfire cyber jet was very white and gray, and it did look like white and gray tiger stripe.
It was camo, the white and gray, and then Air Raid was black. Strafe was green and brown. And then you have the other cyber jets of Hooligan, Space Case, and Skyjack. And Skyjack was a black and red. Space Case was like a checkered white and blue.
Yeah. Okay.
And then
I love that color scheme.
So that's where they got the color scheme for what's that repaint? Was it Sky Shadow? Yeah, Sky Shadow. They got it from Skyjack. The red and black color scheme. Sky Shadow was one of the generation repaints.
Exactly. Yeah.
I
know they've done a repaint of Space Case, and I know they've done a repaint of Hooligan, and I forget exactly who it was now. I don't even remember what series it was or when they
Hooligan did. Repaint was damn it, Michael, stop predicting stuff. Yeah, I remember. What am I going to talk about? Yeah, I don't remember this. I'm looking at the tiger stripe for Hooligan. He's,
I want to say it was one of the movie toys that they repainted.
No, it was, the one with the trident. Oh, crap. Deep dive, depth dive. I can't remember.
I know what you're talking about, yeah. And the sad thing is, I probably have him, and he's in this pile of toys I haven't opened. I have no idea. I can't even see inside here anymore.
Was he homaged in Revenge of the Fallen? Because he was called Fear Swoop in Revenge of the Fallen, but it had this hooligan's exact paint style.
I'm looking at my Fallen shelf here to see if I can spot him, and I don't see him offhand. But yeah, no, I mean, like I said, I've seen a lot of Cybergent repaints over the years, and it's like, wow, it's cool that they would pay homage to these G2 guys that people may or may not have ever seen.
I definitely think with Generation 2 that they definitely pushed the envelope more on the colors of the robots. I think also not only to sell more toys, but to kind of grab more attention because they released them in a particular set and never deviated in Generation 1. In Generation 2, you get some new molds plus some imported Euro molds. So it was kind of... they were trying to definitely push the envelope and not keep it too nostalgic because they were pretty much battling Ninja Turtles and Power Rangers at the time. So they were being decimated.
It's terrible. I was going to say, I'm actually looking online here to see if I can find the repaint and I'll see it. It says the Hooligan mode was redecoed to make G2 Jetfire. It was also used to make RoboMasters R-Blade, Universe Windshear, and Timeless Ricochet. Huh. Okay, well, that's great. But I don't know. I really like the, like I said, the spring-loaded transformation. And that is something that you see later on in the basic Beast Wars, I want to say, the early ones. So, like, if you look at, like, Beast Wars Rat Trap, the first one that came out, he's like a little spring-loaded guy. You know, he's still got, I don't want to say he doesn't have flick missiles, but he still has that, you know, weapons that you can stow away inside his mold. And they did that. Yeah, they did that for a lot of the, like, the, I don't know, the boar, I don't remember his name, the frog, the insecticons, a lot of the basic ones that you know, you would just trigger it and they would just flop out into...
Spinner, Iguanus, Optimus Primal, Megatron,
Terrorsaur. They all had that. But I really liked those. I mean, some people don't like that gimmick, but I kind of dig it. It's kind of like the animated activators, where you touch them funny and they transform. Yeah, I kind of dig that.
But do they like it?
You gotta touch them just right.
And if they respond and they like it, you're doing it wrong.
Oh, God, stop.
So, yes, then... But, then we have the random Generation 2 commercials, and you have Victor Caroli narrating a good 90% of them. Then they try and play around with putting Transformers stuff to orchestral, rap.
What?
There's reference to it.
I'll listen to that. Because back then it would have been like, what, Run DMC?
I don't know.
Fat Boys?
But it was pretty bad. But then you have, you know, the Cybernet Space Cube of, you know, a lot of the toys and comics were Victor Caroli. But as it progressed, you have, starting with the season 2 and 94 stuff, you have Gary Chalk starting his first foray into the Transformers world, doing the narration and various TV station announcers for it.
That sweet, sweet molasses.
it's just funny that's the first time he's actually involved with Transformers, and you know, the end of Victor Crowley and the beginning of Gary Chalk, and then he gets to do it again like 2 years later in Beast Wars. And the funny thing about the 3D and this stuff is you get to see 3D robots and Dinobots, and then you get to see it again.
That was just the intro, right?
Yeah, just the Cybernet Space Cube and intro crap.
Randall Ng went back and did he went back and redid that initial intro with more up to date graphics, and it looked really sharp.
But he's a genius, and it's
he is awesome. Yeah, that's he's true.
Very
yeah.
awesome. He is very, very genius with his work. It's insane the level of quality he has.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Yes, definitely. Especially his Transformers Gangnam Style.
Everyone and their brother's trying to steal.
I know, that's horrible. He's going to steal from the guy.
He always posts, "Someone else stole my video. I reported him." Okay.
It just shows you the popularity level of it. It's not good until someone tries to steal it.
The one I was thinking of for the redeco was Hunt for the Decepticons Terror Dive.
There you go.
For the one that had the trident, the black and orange redeco for the jet, that's what I was thinking of, was Hunt for the Decepticons Terror Dive. No, Randall is awesome. Randall, and when he teams up with Dr. Smoove, it's just amazing. I actually asked him a couple of years ago if he would come on the show for an interview, if actually both of them would. And he said, "I'll have to get back to you." So I'll have to message him again and see if we can get at least him on.
Yeah, you'll have to get back to him.
Yeah, I'll have to see if that's still a possibility.
I get the impression that he's shy.
Eh.
Because, I mean, I don't know him personally. I just know him from Facebook and from chatting back and forth. Yeah. But, like, when you see pictures of Mini Chief at the Halo convention, a lot of pictures of Mini Chief. Yeah. No pictures of Randall. Yeah.
Well, the focus is on his work. I mean, he did build the costume for his son.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, no one's going to say, "Hey, Randall, let me get a picture of you and your kid." Because I would totally do that. I'd be like, "Let me get a picture of you." I don't know.
No, like yeah, said, you're
really
right.
Nice guy, top notch.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, heck, if we can get 40 minutes out of John DeLancey, I'm sure we can get enough time out of Randall to talk about his work.
Har har.
I'm not making fun of it. I'm just saying that, you know, it's sometimes interviews are hard. As far as G2 goes, I still enjoy seeing a lot of the toys and what?
Well, I was going to say, do either of you have any familiarity with any of the comic line?
No.
The G2 line?
Yes.
I didn't read it per se, but I remember bits and pieces of it. Like, I remember the art style being a lot better. It was more boxy, more robotic, more sketch-like. It was a 180 from what Andrew Wildman was doing with the G1.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, I want to say I was reading Martial Law, and that shared, I don't want to say an art style, but it was informed by Martial Law in that there was a lot of attention to detail. There was a lot of like graffiti, like written on people's armor or on their guns. You know, things were more detailed in that, you know, if someone was getting blown up, you would see it. If somebody's shooting a gun, there's shells everywhere. You know, there's an awful lot of action oriented type, you know, it's just a more exciting series. And it would have been forever and a day since I've actually looked at one of those, though. I want to say, I actually had some, after reading some of the G1 comics, I had gotten a CD from a friend that had all of the original comics scanned on the CD. And they had all of them except for G2. So, I mean, I've read all the originals, but I had not actually gone through and read all the G2 ones. I said, familiar with them, but, you know, I don't remember exactly what happened.
The interesting thing is you have Simon Furman writing it, which is actually fitting that he's finishing off the G1 regeneration into G2, because he's introducing characters and aspects that would surface in this G2 comic. So he's actually building a bridge to his own series.
That's kind of cool.
Which I've skimmed over some of them, so I definitely am interested in picking up the regeneration trades. But you have the G.I. Joe series, is where G2 starts out. And there's 5 issues, and it starts off with a raggedy-ass Megatron. They find, because the Destro's castle can transform into something.
Okay, it's, cool.
It's
You've caught my interest, sir.
It's definitely strange. I still have those comics. It was during the Ninja Force part of the comic series. And
oh, when everything in G.I. Joe was Dayglo, too.
Yeah, yep. And well, there's a large Transcarpathian castle that Destro and Baroness are at, and Destro and Baroness are working with the G.I. Joe at the time before they get brainwashed back to Cobra. And it says that he promised the Joes by transforming the castle to create a distraction. Well, elsewhere, Megatron sees the transformation.
Yeah.
And he marches his butt over there, and he's kind of crotchety and cranky. So he ends up coming up to Cobra in exchange for Cobra building him a new body, which is the tank, and this super experimental railgun that this human doctor creates.
Was it Dr. Archival?
No, it's Dr. Biggles Jones. It's a female character in the show.
The lab coat. Yeah.
And
she's got spandex with a lab coat over it.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so she's like a female Dr. Mindbender in essence. She starts out kind of nice and meek, and then she turns into Mindbender essentially. Cobra Commander, you know, rebuilds Megatron with this new upgraded Cybertronian technology, and Megatron promises to give him Cybertronian tech in exchange for, you know, this body. So Megatron's running his whole agenda behind the scenes, Mindbender's coming back to life, and Megatron's just kind of watching everything going on and, you know, commenting, and Prime catches wind of this, sending, you know, he's talking to Bumblebee on one of the moon bases or something, and then sends 5 Autobots to go after Megatron. And the team's led by Hotspot. And then you have Steeljaw, Chase, Brawn, Override, and Skydive. Megatron rips Override into pieces with his bare hands. And incinerates several other ones, blows a few other ones away. I think the only one that gets away is Skydive, because he deactivates himself so that he doesn't have an energy signature, and the Joes load him onto the Ark with Spike. And then Megatron's, of course, floating around on the Ark, and you find out the technology he hands Cobra is laced with viruses.
Of course.
It's useless. So then that's the end of that, and then this is continued in Generation 2 of the comic, and then the first cover of the Generation 2 comic is like a one of those kind of lithograph type covers, fold-out battle covers, which I have both editions of. And then, you know, that's the 12-issue run, and you see J-Oxys, the new Decepticon warlord of the ultimate Cybertronian race, and Megatron comes in the second issue after blowing Fort Max away. It's rather hilarious.
Okay.
But then Bludgeon comes in, finishing off the G1 line, and then, you know, J-Axis is fighting the, you know, Optimus and Megatron, and they discover the origins of Cybertronian evolution and all this other stuff. So it's a really interesting series that really didn't get much legs to grow, so the Regeneration 1 ought to help explain some of it.
Wow. Yeah, I'm actually looking at the TF Wiki now at the covers, and they are just really, really cool.
Well, and the funny thing is they have this Derek Yaniger, who did the pencils, and Manny Galan picked up a lot of the guy's slack, and then the Yaniger did most of the covers, and it's really rough, but it's really cool.
Wow. Yeah, no, it's really neat. Oh, and there's the Grimlock.
They're back to looking like robots and not like human faced.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the cover for for issue one here, and it's like you got that attention to detail again where Optimus Prime here's got shells stuck in his head. And he's like leaking energon into his eyes, and it's
real rough.
Yeah, it's kind of hardcore.
And it says, "This is not your father's Autobot."
Is it? It does. Oh, it's funny.
And then the next one says, "Fort Max gets the axe, Killing Frenzy, Dynamite, Alas, poor Bludgeon, I slew him well."
The one with the skull.
Yeah,
that is cool. Oh yeah, because Bludgeon's a skull. Yeah.
Prime Target. Death is afoot. Optimus Prime and Megatron, enemies and allies.
I kind of wish that I read these now.
The swarm. They have like this swarm. It's like the almost like the hate plague, but it like incinerates Transformers upon touching them.
Is this kind of like a combination of Cosmic Rust and the Hate Plague?
Basically.
Wow.
Okay. It's pretty hardcore.
I don't know if that's really, really cool or really, really derivative. I'm not sure. If he has to open up the Matrix to destroy it, then that's really, really derivative.
then they of course, you know, the War World is there, and, you know, they plan on Starscream's treachery. And then using the Creation Matrix, so... then, of course, you have the War World of Pain, and then they have the End of the Road for Transformers Generation 2, and it's consumed by the Swarm. And that's the only issue I don't have. but I have read it, like the digital reading of it, and you get Primus involved, you get a bunch of other... they have an entity known as the Liege Maximo, which I was always confused of who the hell he was.
Is that,
is
that like setting themselves up for another series, or?
Well, the Liege Maximo is supposed to be evil, infinite evil, the counterforce to good in the universe that cannot be truly defeated. So it says when the first Primes were created, so was the Liege Maximo. Robot who now considers himself the opposite, the ultimate evil. So he's like the original Decepticon, basically, sitting at the hub.
Okay.
A network of planets.
That's not at all.
So is he going to get in a fight with Unicron to see who the bigger badass is?
I think he's like... Unicron's like... you know, the top evil, and then Liege Maximo is like right below him.
Ah.
He's supposed to be one of the original 13.
Okay, then.
Which I would have liked to have seen more interesting information about him, but yeah, it's... I think that they kind of mentioned him somewhat in Transformers Prime.
Yeah, I've heard the name pop up here and there, but again, I didn't really know the... It's kind of like G-Axis, you know? I'm, of kind of familiar with, you know, the idea. It's like, yeah, he was a bad guy that came out in G2, but I don't know much about him.
He would be essentially like the Fallen.
Wow. That's crazy.
Worthless and rustworthy. And then they revived G2 again in the timelines for the conventions at one point.
I think G2 was the 2009 convention, or
That's when the Hartman brothers brought Simon Furman back to write for him. And I didn't really consider many of those canon, but
No. I'm talking about like more recently. I think it was it 2009 or 2010 that they did Generation 2 again. Yeah, it was 2010 that they did Generation 2 again without the Hartmans.
Oh, okay. Well,
at BotCon,
Pete Sinclair was one of the editors, and then they had Trent Troop who did the.
I don't think that was 2010.
It was. Okay. I got it pulled up. The Trent Troop guy, he was one of the guys that wrote it. But he also was one of the guys that did Theft of the Golden Disk.
I was going to say, I don't think I went to that one, because I don't think I got the G2 box set.
I've never been to BotCon. I don't know if I ever want to go.
I'm really surprised, too, because in 98, 99, when I first started going, they had them here in Fort Wayne in Indiana. And that wouldn't have been that big of a truck for you.
Yeah.
Well, hell, they had it an hour and a half away in 2006 in Lexington. It wouldn't have been that big of a trek. They had it they had it again another hour and a half away at Cincinnati for 2008. I would have died to go to the Shattered Glass 2008 convention. That would have been awesome.
I was there for that one. I was in the Chicago one, too.
And we're back to All Things Transformers. We had a technical glitch where TFG1 mic disappeared on us.
It was unfortunate.
Yes. But, you know, the internet is for...
That's not for that. I guarantee.
No, it's Starscream's ghost got him. The Cybernet Space Cube.
Cybernet Space Cube. Blame it on the cube.
So, I guess we'll wrap this up, because we've pretty much covered everything, like we mentioned off-air. Mm-hmm. So, anything else you want to bring up before we say?
Aside from the fact that I was kind of getting out of Transformers collecting long before that G2 came along. I mean, I was in college and was still interested in, like, toys and, like, going in and seeing what toys were there, but by then, I wasn't buying any more toys. I kind of wish I had, though, because they actually reissued the G1 Dinobots for the G2 line. And, you know, I love Dinobots. And I especially like these because they issued them in different colors. So, I mean, you can get a Slag and a Snarl in green or a Slag and a Snarl in red. They had... Grimlock in blue. There's a really rare turquoise Grimlock that is floating around on eBay for $1 jillion.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I exaggerate. I don't know how much it is, but I remember when I was actively trying to buy up G2 toys like 10 years ago, you know, they were fetching a premium for the turquoise. But yeah.
I didn't even know that they... had them.
Yeah, well,
like and different colors anyway.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah. No, they started off in G2 by re-releasing them in the same colors. Now, I don't know the difference between a G1 and a G2, you know, gray Grimlock, you know, cuz they look the same. But then after that, they re-released them in green, they re-released them in red. Took me forever to get a green Snarl. Could not find a green Snarl. And I ended up finding one at BotCon for a good price. But yeah, I got a goodly selection of, you know, multicolored G2 Dinobots that I really like. I think they're cool.
I also find it kind of funny that G2, in addition to having the different Dinobots, mm-hmm. had the auto rollers, the GoBots, the laser cycles.
Mm-hmm.
The GoBots are the funniest to me because it's just, it's like the Action Masters are almost like worthless.
Well, I mean, the GoBots were like literally GoBots, you know? I mean, when you think of cheap ass Transformers with a really crappy transformation, you know, that's what I think of when I think of GoBots. And the G2 GoBots, because at that point Hasbro had bought the GoBots name, you know, those figures are not very good. They're little small, like race cars. I think that's what they're supposed to be. It's like race cars that transformed, and like Matchbox cars that transformed in cheap plastic. But, you know, later on, they ended up, like, for the Robots in Disguise line, they repainted all those. And they,
yeah, I remember that.
Oh, they were really collectible then. They didn't call them GoBots anymore, you know, but they, I bought a buttload of those. And the funny thing is, now, I mean, they didn't sell all that well, the GoBots in G2. I mean, so if you try to go back and find some of those, like you try to find a GoBot Optimus or a GoBot Megatron, and it's like, good luck. You know, and they have little guns, like same as they had in the RAD line. And, you know, you may find an Optimus, but you're not going to find his little gun. It's annoying. That, and I think, I want to say those had to have been KB exclusives. I don't know, maybe people just didn't buy anything from KB.
I'm not 100% on that.
I don't know. I was going to say, I've got a bunch of them. And I'm looking in my shelf here, and I don't see them on my shelf. I must have them packed away.
Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, but I mean, they're a novelty. It's kind of neat, but they're not as cool as you know, some of the other ones, like Rotor Force. Those actually had like little spring rotors that shot out, you know, and they're too big to poke your eye out. So I mean, there's a bonus, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I dig those. I didn't collect the G2 toy line, like I said, until after I actually gotten a bunch of other G1 stuff. And I just wasn't that interested in the non-G1 stuff. But I want to say my wife got me like a box of G2 toys in an auction, eBay auction. She gave it to me for Christmas or something, or Valentine's Day. I forget. It's a long time ago. And at that point, I'm like, these are cool. I want them all. Yeah. And then got all hardcore. Just started buying them. But they're hard to find. I mean, especially at a decent price nowadays.
Yeah, a lot of the old stuff is very hard to find.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, that's the nice thing about BotCon, or you know, back when I used to go, I would show up and there would be a decent selection of G2 stuff. There'd be a decent selection of old, you know, G1. There's always a table that just had 100 combiner sets. You know, it's like, remember that Pawn Stars episode where the guy had like just a rows of Devastator and, you know, 10 Superions lined up in various states of completeness. You know, that's what these tables look like at BotCon, or at least one of them that I remember. There was one guy, he literally just had a whole table, 6 foot long table full of combiners just lined up. So just come and get them. It's really cool. If you haven't been to one of these, you really got to go.
I haven't been to BotCon, but I've seen some of that kind of stuff at TFCon.
Yeah.
It's really neat seeing old figures and custom figures and
things you never think you'd ever see. It's like, no. Wow, holy cow, I didn't even know those existed. Like the first time I saw a Metro Titan, holy cow, you know, just freaking amazing. But yeah, a lot of this old G2 stuff you've never seen before. Like, I didn't even know this existed.
Well, like one of the funny things about G2, the ATB, the Advanced Tactical Bomber of Megatron and Starscream, that actually was used in Beast Wars 2.
Right, right.
as Starscream, I believe.
Right.
And then the Dreadwing, they just recently redecoed that into Megatron for IDW.
Oh, no. The bomber.
The Dreadwing with Smokescreen. They just turned that into
That stealth bomber look, they turned it into a figure, and now they're selling it. It's not the same set. I've got like four of those, because I've got the Japanese one, and then I've got the G2 one. Cliff Jumper and Smokescreen. Cliff Jumper and Smokescreen.
It may have been.
And then they repainted that again for, it wasn't Robots in Disguise. It was, what did they repaint that for? It might have been Robots in Disguise that they repaint. Yeah, it is. I'm looking right at it. They repainted him in gray. They're green. He looks really good.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I dig it. But I mean, it's like, how many of these do you really need, you know? but the one that actually was supposed to be Megatron and Starscream, that was never released.
Huh.
Yeah, no, they made a couple of them. They made a couple, I want to say, like, two of them were made, and then maybe one or two more were actually put into sample boxes.
It says test releases. Okay. In Ohio.
Oh, they were released in Ohio? I thought those were never released.
Yeah, in very limited quantities.
Okay, well, there's a very limited amount of them floating around. I've seen them on eBay. And, well, I take it back. Like 10, 15 years ago, I saw them on eBay. And they were ridiculous. It was like, okay, I'm never going to own one of those. It's like Cookie Crisp Jazz or something. It's like, I'm never going to own one of those. Or, what was that? Pepsi Prime. It's like, yeah, they exist, but they're $5,000, so I'm never going to buy one.
I almost wonder if you could find one on, not eBay, but Shelf Life.
Oh, I don't know.
Because that's all stuff that people are just trying to sell on their own.
Yeah.
Of stuff. Mm-hmm. And, I see, like they have the Generation 2 GoBot Megatron on there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
I periodically cycle through there. Ever since we did our interview with the guys from Shelf Life, you can actually find a lot of figures on there. And you basically, how it works is you put how much you're willing to pay if you ever, you know, if that figure ever comes to that price level. Mm-hmm. And if it ever hits whatever price you're willing to pay for it, it automatically does the transaction.
Oh, wow.
And because it hooks up to your PayPal. And then if it automatically matches up, then you they'll ship you the thing and your money automatically goes through, which I found kind of interesting. I've sold a number of figures that way.
Really?
Through there.
That's kind of neat.
Works pretty well, and you don't even have to, once you list it on there and put it on there, you don't ever have to babysit it because it sends you an email.
So it'll just let you know.
Yep. It says, hey, you have money, and then I'm like, oh, I should sell it. But yeah, they have some comics, and they have some figures on there, too. The only G2 figure I see on there is the GoBot Megatron. Some people sell them, some people don't. It's a collection type site, but
yeah,
I thought that would be an interesting place to try for Generation 2.
Yeah, no, I'll have to check it out. I was gonna say, because I'm still looking for a Generation 2 Ramjet.
Looks like they have a couple of the Cyberjets on there, and like Air Raid and Jetfire. I don't know if any of those are for sale.
Yeah, no, I got those. No, like Electro and Jolt. Those were The guys that had the lights built in, kind of like the Laser Prime. Leadfoot and Ransack, I'm still looking for a couple of those. Those were the Rotor Force. Don't have those. But, I don't know. Like I said, I mean, you go to BotCon to find these, and
usually... That's probably your best bet.
Yeah. Here we go. I don't have a G2, I don't have a Blowout GoBot, Firecracker GoBot. They're just making shit up at this point. Bumblebee, Megatron, Soundwave, and Prime I don't have. This is weird. I got, like, this list that I printed out that I used to take to BotCon with me, with, like, pictures of everything. So if I see it in a booth or something, or if it's under glass, I can look at it and go, ooh, I need that.
Ooh, need.
Need. Ooh. Totally need that. You know, it's sad, too, because every year I'd go, and I'd pull out my list, and I'd go, oh, I don't have that. I need one of these. I need one of these. And every year, you know, the prices go up. It's like, well, this year,
of course.
You know, this year you could buy it for $5, but next year it's $10. It's like, you know, and after a while, you know, you get sick of paying $5 for a, you know, scrapper's gun or something. it's like, no, I'm not. Like, 1 year I went, I needed Blaster's gun, G1 Blaster. I'm like, well, I need a G1 Blaster gun. The guy's like, ooh, yeah, that's going to cost you. Like, seriously? I think I paid like $15 for Blaster's gun 1 year. It was just...
That's sick.
I know! What do I got here? I got like, oh yeah, like the MicroMaster headquarters. I'm missing a gun and a missile. And it's like, yeah, good luck even finding these. And if you do, they're gonna charge you $20 for a missile. I'm like, seriously? God forbid you need a head for a headmaster.
Huh.
I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting to get back into the convention thing. You know, they got BotCon coming up. I'm not going to go to BotCon, but like TFCon in Chicago, I'm definitely going to that. There's an anime convention in Chicago that DC Douglas is going to. He's the voice of Chase on Rescue Bots. We're going to go see him.
Ah, nice.
Pretty sure we're going to go see him. Yeah. And then, you know, they've got C2E2 here. They've got Chicago Comic Con, which is, like, right next door to where TFCon is going to be. You know, lots of...
Is it the same weekend, or is it...
No. I want to say C2E2 is, like, in March.
Ah.
And Chicago Comic Con is, I want to say, August. Yeah. But, yeah, so there's, I mean, I'm kind of really interested to go to TFCon because for years I've been saying, yeah, I'm going to go to the one in Toronto. That's an 8-hour drive for me. You know, it's like I'd like to visit Toronto. I'd like to see it and, you know, kind of hang out there for a bit. But, yeah, it's an 8-hour drive. You know, there's a lot of people that I know there who go every year and it would be really neat to go hang out with them. But, ugh. Like I said, 8 hours. I went to Niagara 1 year when Christy and I first started dating. We drove up to Niagara, and that, like I said, 8-hour drive. And it was fun. It was interesting. It was a nice tourist trap type of thing to do. But you know, and we drove. We were within 10 miles of Toronto. We could see it from where we were on the was it Queen Elizabeth Highway?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And we're like, oh, look over there is Toronto, but. Yeah, like I said, it's a bit of a schlep. So it's cool that they're coming to Chicago because, you know, I live in Chicago or damn close to it. Close enough to it that I can say I live in Chicago and get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to try my damnedest to get there this year.
I'm telling you, you come here, you shack up with me for a couple of days and we'll drive in together.
I will definitely try and make that a thing. And make it happen.
Yeah, like I said, you just drive down here. It'd be what, three and a half hours for you to drive to Chicago?
Maybe about three, maybe four at most.
There you go.
I could do it. My wife worries about me. I have this bad habit when I drive, but
falling asleep.
I used to.
I do that.
I mostly do if I'm driving and there's other people in the car. If I'm by myself and I'm rambling by myself, yeah. For some reason I can stay awake. I don't understand it.
That's weird. Yeah.
It's strange, but yeah, I think I could definitely make the trek.
Yeah, no, I mean it's not that big. I mean, like I said, I mean we've driven to like Lexington, we've driven to Cincinnati. Back when BotCon was in places other than Pasadena, we used to go every year, and you know, we'd make a weekend of it. But yeah, it's not that bad of a drive, and like I said, you don't have to worry about hotel or anything. You can come check up with me. And I live 45 minutes away.
Not bad.
From O'Hare. You know, I mean, well, I mean, if I'm driving rush hour, it's going to be a little bit longer. But on a Saturday, on a Sunday, nah, it's 45 minutes. You know, and what, we can hang out. It'll be cool.
Yeah.
It'll be a neat thing.
So, I think we'll close out this episode of All Things Transformers and, sorry, TFG1, or TFG2, Mike.
Yeah, it's just not the same.
Yeah, it's just not the same.
TFG2, Mike.
Yeah, we'll call him TFG2 for the rest of the episode.
Just this once, yeah.
Yeah, just this once. Well, he is going to do the TFG2 podcast with the Cybernet Space Cube and everything. I know he hates that cube.
the YouTube version with the video will have the Cybernet Space Cube.
It'll transform into Mike's TFG1 logo and then transform back into TFG2.
Wow, that's asking a lot.
I know. it'll collapse on itself. TFG. So, yes. Thank you for listening to this episode, even though it change direction halfway through because Mike disappeared, but
sorry about that.
We'll be back next time when we talk Beast Wars and Machine Wars.
Somewhere in the world, Michael Blanchard is cussing.
It's like the Crocodile Hunter, like I was telling you off air. Oi, what we have here is a TFG1 mic.
That sounds very French. I don't know.
I know. I can't do an Australian accent.
Oh, you can't? Oh, I used to love Steve Irwin. Yeah.
He goes,
oi! He's just protected his babies. It's like, oh, he wants to bite me. He wants to bite me real bad. That's okay. He's just protecting his babies.
Mike just wants to smack his face on the desk. As hard as it goes. All you'll hear is fun, 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 fun. And then he'll be like, rah, 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 on his end.
I can hear the reverberations of his head hitting the desk from here.
Oh, my microphone is vibrating.
What the hell is that? Here in the wild, we have a TFG1 mic. Look at him. He's hitting his head up against the desk. I bet that's got hurt. Dump, dump, dump. At least I hope that's what he's doing. Oh, my.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Good night, TFG and Mike. Stop that. Stop it.
Nice. The best part is he'll never know.
He's gonna get all pissed off when he hears that. Like, well,
I'm not editing it.
Oh god.
Wait, 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 wait.
That would be funny, like three Starscreams and a baby. You could pull that off.
Three, oh my god.
Three Seekers and a bitch.
No. Well, no, that technically wouldn't work. I was going to say my two Megatrons and me, but... Yeah.
Myself and Megatron.
Oh my god. Oh, so hilarious.
I myself and yes, me.
I was trying to think of...
Were you recording any of this?
Yes,
oh that's great.
I was trying to make a My Buddy reference. I was like, how can I get...
My Buddy, My Buddy,